This is something that certainly is either touches you directly or indirectly, meaning you yourself have dealt with something like this, either suicidal feelings or just straight up depression without maybe going to that far dark place. Or you know someone who may have committed suicide or has dealt with depression. And so we're gonna get into some of those things, and we're actually going to laugh at a few things because that's the only way to survive. And that's why my presentation is called That Voice in the Wilderness is Laughing. When you talk about depression, which is so common that it's been called the common cold of mental illness, then people go, oh, depression, what's the big deal? Why can't you handle life? I've been depressed. Who isn't depressed? And so that's why people don't want to talk about it, because people see it as a character flaw rather than a medical condition that needs help. For the last year, there was something that was really getting to me. Now, my parents had divorced. It was kind of harsh, and so I could attribute it to that and say, well, this is what's going on. But it never went away, that depression and that hardcore. I've always described it as a ghost. I still do to this day, because you can't put your hand on what's troubling you, and you can't blame it on anybody. So that's why I describe mine not as the dark night of the soul and all those things you've heard, but for me, it's like a ghost. Now, I always think of depression as a scale. So if you think of a scale, on this end of the scale, over here, we have what we call ennui, which is a French word, I believe. And I think it means basically you're a little bit weary of life and things just aren't going well. We've all had ennui. But what I talk about is the other end of the scale. And that is something that's a much bigger stigma than normal depression. I'm talking about something that is serious, debilitating, dangerous, and in some cases, life-threatening. I had gotten into college right out of high school, like everybody. I was living at home and going to a JC, and I was really struggling with this math requirement. And I fought that stupid math requirement for 15 years on and off. I made myself crazy. I could not get it. I made myself start all over, pre-algebra. So I did, and I am. Thanks for laughing at me. It's good to be personally vulnerable. Thank you for coming. Anyway, I really fought it, and I went year after year. I had to take it over and over and over, and I finally got into Algebra 1, and I'm like 25, and I'm like, I was crazy at that point. I finally kept fighting it, and I was having so much trouble fighting depression at the same time. But there is one thing that I learned about that time about math once I finally got through, and I was so proud of myself. I realized at that moment that there are three kinds of people in this world, and that is people who are naturally good at math and people who aren't. Well, after the second show on a Saturday night, myself and the other comedians I was working with, we all had really great shows. We just did awesome. And when I was hanging out over by the bar, the owner of the club came up to me in person and said, "You rocked the house tonight." And I was very excited. I thought, I am in. And when I got back to my room at about 3:00 in the morning that same night, I was incredibly despondent. And I was incredibly scared. To the point that if I had been a kind of person who travels with a gun, like some people do, I might not be here today. Now, what I just described to you was a very successful night. So why would I have suicidal feelings 6 hours later at 3:00 in the morning? Well, welcome to the complicated and sometimes mysterious world of clinical depression. Well, let's talk about causes and triggers, because there is always new information coming out as to what can cause these things. One interesting thing that I found kind of unusual is that they say that childhood trauma can lead to adult depression. Maybe something that happened a long time ago manifests later when you are an adult, and they can trace it all the way back to when you were 2 or 3 years old and had some huge trauma. Maybe you have an inherited tendency. There's also some arguments about this. Can you actually inherit a depressive gene? Seasonal depression. When is it that people really, really fight depression most during the year? It's during the winter. Why is it during the winter? Well, it's because it's dark and overcast a lot of the times. And we, as human beings, we need natural sunlight. And so for people out there who are dealing with that, just the fact that it's dark for weeks or maybe months, depending on where you live at a time, that can really, really get to people. So During the winter, people typically tend to fight it a lot more. Maybe you lost your job, maybe you have a family member die. Some people say that depression is anger turned where?
Inward.
You are putting it in on yourself, you're pointed at yourself, and you are not dealing with something. I thoroughly actually happen to believe in that one. And I was taken to a small room for what's called an intake interview. And the psychiatrist that I was hooked up with was a woman with a very thick French accent. And there was nothing funny what was going on. I was scared. I was like, how did I get in a place like this? So we sat down and she started asking me questions. And she said, have you ever been to an emergency psychiatric clinic? And I said, no, I haven't. And she said, are you currently using any alcohol or drugs? That's what she said, exactly like that. Alcohol or drugs. And just like you, I was like, huh? What are you talking about? And then she said, how long have you been abusing cannabis? That's what she said. If you love someone and you are really wanting to support someone who is dealing with really bad depression, you need to do more listening than talking. Now that's really hard, because as you love someone and want to support them, we want to spew out all of our ideas. I love you, I'm here for you, here's a bunch of ideas I have. The problem with that is if you do all that, that person's not being heard. And get them out and moving, and usually that means out of the house. This doesn't have to be a fancy thing. You can take your friend bowling, you can go to the coffee shop and sit down and talk, or you can go to the bookstore, you can go shoot hoops or whatever. It's about being with that person and letting them talk. That's ultimately the best thing you can do. Now the hard part of that is this. No matter how much you do all that work to support them, guess who it is who ultimately has to walk through the door of a doctor's office? Now once, as I said, there was nothing funny about this situation, but once I got the right doctor and the right meds, and I started to manage this thing just like I would a kidney or heart condition, I had to find something humorous to survive. I had to listen to that cannabis. Now because of my background in comedy and public speaking, somebody suggested, hey, you should do shows on clinical depression. You know, and my first thought was, that'll get chicks. And then I started doing public speaking. And one thing led to another. I started journaling about this. And I wrote a one-man show called Side by Side, A Journey with Depression, A Funny Look at Serious Survival. And it took off immediately. And we toured all over the West Coast, all the way up to Washington and Oregon and down to San Diego and out to Nevada. And it was amazing.